In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My brothers and sisters, the collect for this Sunday asks God to keep his household, the church, in continual godliness and to protect her from all adversities. This is a prayer that is rooted in the understanding that the church's greatest danger is not from without, but from within. Think about that. From coldness of heart, from spiritual forgetfulness, from the loss of charity toward God and toward one another. So the scripture lessons appointed for today all point up toward the same theme. The theme is the call to live as a people who have been forgiven and who therefore must forgive. Must forgive. If we should read the first lesson appointed from the Apocrypha, Ecclesiasticus chapter 27, that is the one appointed for today, chapter 27. If we should read that, we would see that it speaks directly and forcefully to the human heart. Ecclesiasticus says, wrath and anger and hateful things, and the sinful man will hold them fast. There is no mistaking the point, my friends, that unforgiveness corrodes the soul. Holding grudges binds a man or a woman more tightly than chains. And the passage from Ecclesiasticus warns us with almost painful clarity that he who nourishes anger against another should not expect healing from the Lord. The one who seeks mercy must himself show mercy. And again, that sacred writer in Ecclesiasticus says, forgive thy neighbor the hurt that he hath done unto thee, so shall thy sins also be forgiven when thou prayest, from the Old Testament. And when I examine this, I discover that this is not sentimental advice, but it is a spiritual law woven into the fabric of God's kingdom. The one who refuses to forgive stands in the way of God's grace in his own soul. So the Lord will not share his dwelling with bitterness. The Lord will not share his dwelling with bitterness. Again, from the passage from Old Testament, we read, remember the covenant of the Most High. These are the words of Ecclesiasticus. Remember the covenant of the Most High. And the passage concludes, and overlook ignorance. And overlook ignorance. So we, my friends, forgive because God has forgiven us, and we forgive because unforgiveness is a poison that darkens the heart. Unforgiveness. When we look at the second lesson, the epistle for today from Philippians, the Old Testament lesson teaches the need to forgive. The epistle shows the fruit of forgiving and a forgiving life. what are the fruits of a forgiven and forgiving life? It says here, joy, charity, and mutual upbringing in Christ. St. Paul writes with great warmth, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you for your fellowship in the gospel. St. Paul was writing these words when he was going through a rough time. He was in prison. These words are striking when we remember that Paul writes from imprisonment. There is no resentment in his heart. One thought he'd be full of resentment, but there's no resentment in his heart, no nursing of grievances, no bitterness toward those who have opposed him. Instead, St. Paul rejoices, he prays, and he blesses. He is free, free because the love of Christ rules in his heart. St. Paul prays that the Philippians may abound in love and that God would perform his good work in them until the day of Jesus Christ. And that is what the church looks like, my brothers and sisters, when the grace of forgiveness flows within her. If the grace of forgiveness flows within the church, there is unity, there is joy, and there is spiritual faithfulness. And now we look at what the gospel has to say. In the gospel, Peter asked the Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter thinks he is being generous. Jesus answers, I say unto thee, until 70 times? No, but until 70 times seven. In other words, what I gather from this is forgiveness is not to be measured. Forgiveness is not a calculated virtue. It is the natural expression of a heart that knows it has received mercy. Our Lord then tells the parable of the servant who owed 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents to me is an impossible sum. And he was freely forgiven. But the same servant refused to forgive a fellow servant a small debt. When the king learned of this, he delivered the unforgiving servant to judgment. The message, my friends, is unmistakable. It is simply this. Those who refuse to forgive prove that they have not truly received God's forgiveness. Those who cling to resentment close the very door through which mercy must enter. And the Lord ends with the sobering words, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. This is not harshness, my friends, but this is true. God's mercy cannot dwell in an unforgiving heart, not at all. Forgiveness does not say that the wrong done was insignificant. It says the mercy of God is greater. Forgiveness does not erase justice. It places justice in the hands of Christ the judge. Forgiveness does not ignore truth. It frees the soul to walk in truth without hatred. So thus the collect for today pleads. Keep thy household, the church, in continual godliness. It is answered through forgiveness. Simply. Without forgiveness, there can be no unity. Without unity, there can be no holiness. And without holiness, there can be no peace. Dear friends, we have all of us here been forgiven. A 10,000 talents debt by our Lord. Every sin forgiven, every failure pardoned, every stain washed. Let us then extend to others what we ourselves have received. For in forgiving, we step most clearly into the likeness of Christ. May God, by his mercy, keep our parish, small though we be, all angels, in continual godliness. Guard us from all adversities and grant us grace to serve him with quiet and forgiving hearts. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.